and open our minds to your wisdom so that our hearts will be cleansed and renewed. Amen. Jesus said, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Are you tired? Worn out? Hopefully tomorrow you can enjoy some physical rest from your labors. Rest Sabbath is so important that it makes the top 10 commandments. God designed us to live by the unforced rhythms of grace. There are times to work and times to rest, times to be awake and times to sleep. When we force too much work into our lives, we disrupt the rhythm and become tired and worn out. What about your soul? How do you become spiritually tired and worn out? Almost all of us experience spiritual fatigue by our failure to love. Listen to a group of two-year-olds, and a word you are likely to hear is mine. Watch them, and you will likely see them take hold of a toy, guarding it from others, trying to keep it for themselves. Now, as adults, we only become slightly more polite and clever. However, we still like to declare things, and sometimes even people and groups of people, as mine, and try to control them. The quest to possess, to say mine, is very, very fatiguing to our soul. The greatest commandment is just the opposite. It is to love. At the root of most sin, that which fatigues our soul the most, is our heart that turns in on itself. Rather than loving God and others, our arms are clinging to stuff rather than opening wide to give and receive blessings. Even though it may feel good for a moment, it takes tremendous energy to declare something as mine. In addition, when we put up barriers to protect ourselves or our stuff, we limit the renewing love we can receive. When our focus is on our stuff, we divert our focus from God, the source of all love, blessing, and renewal. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans explains how sin wears us out, leaving us utterly exhausted. He says that living in sin is like living in slavery. Our love for God, others, and ourselves becomes twisted and turns back in upon ourselves. We disregard others so we can look out for ourselves. We rationalize our behavior and closely guard our possessions. In essence, we declare, "Mine, mine." Praise God that through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we are now all free from our sin because of our faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit enables us to truly love God, others, and ourselves. The Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans tells us that there is absolutely no room in a Christian's life for the word mine. For we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Everything we have, all the things, abilities, and gifts that we are tempted to label as mine are all to be offered to God as an offering and shared with one another. The letter to Romans reads, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all God has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind God will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, But work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. The Apostle Paul makes it sound so easy. And Jesus summed it up in just 9 words. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. However, this is really difficult to live. Sort of like our physical life. We all know that we need rest. Most of us believe that God, family, and friends are more important than our work. Yet, how often do we let our work take away precious time from God, family, and friends, who all rejuvenate us and who even make us more efficient at our work? Paul struggled in getting his physical and spiritual rest as well. Paul wrote, "I can't anticipate the response that is coming. I know that all commands are spiritual, but I am not. Isn't this your experience? Yes, I am full of myself, after all. I've spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. But I need something more. For if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it is predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps me. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. Jesus acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. Now, I can certainly relate to Paul. And I'll share just 2 ways that I scream mine and despise myself. It's blaming and negative reactions. I have this terrible personality quirk. When something goes wrong, my initial reaction in a split second is sadly to blame Leslie, Spencer, or Abigail, or something that is, you know, a physical object. And most of the time, it's absurd. When our car was old and broke down when Leslie was driving, my initial reaction is, Leslie, what did you do to the car? A couple of weeks ago, I fell off the yard waste container in our backyard and hurt myself pretty bad. And, you know, when I started to climb the yard waste container to reach something high, I thought, you know, this is really a bad idea. It's on wheels, it's high, it could tip, it could turn, it could fall. But, I'd have to go all the way around and get the ladder. I don't want to take that time. I'm just going to hop up on the yard waste. Well, sure enough, I fell. And what did I blame? Did I blame myself? No, that stupid yard waste container. And then Spencer, who came running up in concern to check on me and ask if I was all right, heard me explain, why did you put this yard waste container back here? Like he was somehow involved. And as soon as I say it, I feel just terrible. I despise myself. Apologize. Why do I do that? It makes me tired and worn out. declaring mine fatigues my soul. Another way that I tend to scream mine is to defend the current way I am doing something when someone suggests another way. Later, after I think about it, I realize they have given me a wonderful gift in sharing their idea. I feel guilty about my initial negative reaction, apologize, and feel terrible. It makes me tired and worn out. So, what about you? What is it in your personality that screams mine? What do you keep doing that makes you feel guilty, upset? What is it that makes you tired and worn out? The Apostle Paul realized that trying hard to change his behavior was not enough. He needed Jesus. He needed the Holy Spirit to enable him to change into the person he wanted to become. Jesus is asking you, if you are burned out on religion, perhaps that burnout comes from trying to correct our behaviors, to rid ourselves of our sin on our own. Religion tells us that certain behavior is wrong. The more we focus on not doing that behavior, often the more obsessed we become, leading us to keep doing that behavior. It burns us out. And then we look around the church and we see others struggling in similar ways. And then we hurt each other at church by what we say and what we do. It burns us out. It makes us tired, worn out, and more susceptible to more and more sin and a downward spiral. So how does one reverse this trend? How does one rid themselves of screaming, mine? How does one truly live a loving life? Jesus said, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. First, we need to come to Jesus. To get away with Jesus in your soul, to recover your life, whatever that means for you, however you get spiritual rest and renewal, however you connect with Jesus, make sure you're taking time to do that. Shift your focus from trying to avoid a certain behavior to Jesus. Fill your thoughts not with what you're trying to avoid, but with goodness, love, praise, and thanksgiving. Then God will help squeeze those sinful behaviors out of your life. Read scripture, pray, worship, nurture your relationship with Jesus, and Jesus will show you and enable you to take a real rest. Jesus will renew you. You are invited to learn the unforced rhythms of grace. You are forgiven. Let go of your guilt. Break the cycle of trying to not do something you despise, doing it, feeling guilty, apologizing, and then being exhausted with God's grace. Open yourself to the unforced rhythms of grace. Hang in there with Jesus over time, and you will indeed learn how to live freely and lightly. Now, another translation puts Jesus' words this way. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and my burden is light. A yoke connects two people, so the weight of the load can be shared equally. That is, only if each person works in harmony with the other. My dad farmed with horses when he was starting out. That's not my dad, by the way. I couldn't find any pictures of my dad with horses, so Google had to substitute one. I don't know who this person is. But some of the strongest horses, when yoked to another, were a disaster because a strong horse pulled too hard, pulling the implement in circles, twisting the yoke, accomplishing nothing. Other horses were too competitive, each trying to take the lead, which resulted in the yoke seesawing back and forth. Great effort was exerted with little effect. But you could take two below-average horses in strength who worked together, and they would easily outwork all these other horses and were highly valued on the farm. Jesus is inviting you to be yoked with him, not to try to take the lead, to try to do it all yourself, to have it your way, to be strong and independent, but not to hold back and rely on Jesus to do all the work either, to pray and say, okay, God, it's in your hands. I'm just going to lay back and do nothing and wait for you to come save the day. Rather, Jesus invites you to live, play, work, and rest in harmony, to have a partnership. There is a sweet spot in loving, somewhere between forcing yourself to love and feeling nothing, between beating yourself up over your mistakes and sinning boldly, knowing that grace will forgive you of anything, between being obsessed with ridding or adding a behavior and not striving to live like Christ at all. God created all of creation with rhythm. God created you with a unique rhythm that Jesus is eager to match as Jesus walks beside you, yoked to you. Jesus is inviting you to discover the unforced rhythms of grace. Jesus is inviting you to let go so you can let come. Jesus is inviting you to stop declaring mine and find the joy of sharing harmony, peace, love, and rhythm. The Apostle Paul tried to sum it up this way. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Keep a smile on your face. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Be good friends who love deeply. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Discover the beauty in everyone. Amen. Let's take a moment of silence to center with God.